Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dr. Tom Russo, Chief of Infectious Disease at the Jacobs School of Medicine, is joining us now. Dr. Russo, great to have you on. As always, it kind of happened all of a sudden. You know, we've been talking about setting a metric or a date for, you know, loosening up or getting rid of all these restrictions. And not all of them are gone and done away with. We'll touch on that. But a lot of them are, as of yesterday, kind of like a snap of the fingers. What were you thinking when that announcement was made?
Well, obviously, you know, there is some grounds for celebration that we're doing well with our vaccinations and the number of people that we're getting vaccinated. But I think it's important for people to realize this is not over yet. It is over primarily for those individuals that are fully vaccinated, but those that are yet to be vaccinated or those that have gotten one shot and still need to get that second shot, you know, you're still going to be at risk for getting infection, and in the certain venues that caution is still the order of the day.
You know, that 70% mark, why is it 70? Do you know?
Well, it's sort of a guesstimate. You know, we don't really know what proportion of individuals that we need to really get this virus under control. The 70% mark is loosely based what we saw in Israel when they hit this mark, cases fell to very low levels. And likewise, we're seeing that here in Western New York and across many parts of the country. However, the low number of cases that we're having right now is also being aided by the fact that it's great weather outside. We're doing lots of stuff outdoors. The virus spreads poorly there. And for those remaining individuals that are still at risk, you know, there's going to be a low number of cases during the summer as it sort of percolates and a low background noise. But I'm quite concerned that if they don't take advantage of these months where the risk is going to be much lower and the cooler weather, this virus will catch up with them.
Looking at where we stand now with, you know, what you are and aren't able to do, some of these restrictions, you know, most of the businesses, bars, restaurants are open as per usual. A lot of these other places are. But, you know, schools still have a level of restriction over, and there's still a question as to how a school is going to be able to operate. Will they be able to, you know, get rid of dividers and masks and things like that? And you can tell me if I'm wrong in my thinking here, but, you know, going back all the way to last year, when we kind of realized that, all right, this does not affect children in the same way that it does adults, and especially older adults, that children kind of, you know, it's the one good thing of COVID. They've been not immune from COVID, but they've been relatively safe from having the worst side effects. Does it make sense that they're still the ones who have to deal with restrictions while all of us are kind of, you know, doing whatever we want?
Yeah, Brian, unfortunately, it does make sense. At least it makes sense to me from an infectious diseases public health point of view. You're correct, and this virus has been more forgiving with children than it has been with adults. But unfortunately, there's been more pediatric deaths this year, somewhere between 350 and 600 than our worst flu seasons. There's been at least 20,000 children hospitalized, and many of those that get sick have persistent symptoms that last for weeks and even months. And as I think we haven't talked about in a while, there's that multisystemic inflammatory syndrome in children that potentially could cause long-lasting effects on the heart. And lastly, this group, particularly the less than 12-year-olds, which cannot get vaccinated, are going to serve as that persistent reservoir for the virus so that that could go ahead and spread to those unvaccinated individuals who are at greater risk. So, you know, I think that we can't forget about our children. And, you know, whenever a child dies from a potentially vaccine-preventable death, it's a tragedy, and so it does make sense to me that we want to protect our children.
Well, with that said, Dr. Russo, what does it look like for September in kids? I mean, it doesn't appear that a vaccine will be widely available to children under 12 before September.
Yeah, I agree with you, Susan. Unfortunately, it's going to be not, at least for the ones, you know, that are less than 12 years old. For those who are 12 and up, we want to get as many of those individuals as vaccinated. We do, though, have a pretty good body of data that if we put preventative measures in place that we could safely reopen our schools. That packaged together with the fact that, you know, most of our adults hopefully will be vaccinated, and that'll serve to a degree to protect them because that'll keep the number of cases down. I think we can safely open schools at full capacity, but the secret will be, of course, that they need to execute those public health safety plans.
We hear more and more every day about, you know, the variants, and it seems that more and more people are maybe skeptical when they hear the word variant after, you know, hearing impending doom and things like that from the CDC director months ago, and, you know, we're still waiting on that to happen. And then we heard out of the UK, there's been a few news reports on the Delta variant, and this is one of the headlines over in The Guardian. Talking about some of what the UK is seeing, that the Delta variant COVID symptoms include headaches, sore throat, and a runny nose, right? And that to me, you know, it kind of sounds like a cold. And it reinforces, in my mind at least, what I've always had this assumption of viruses that, you know, we always know that they mutate over time, but they mutate to become maybe more infectious and less deadly, right, in order to spread further. Is that what's happening here?
I think with the Delta variant, we just don't know enough yet. We do know that it appears to be more infectious than earlier versions of the virus, and it's actually outcompeting that version that's called the Alpha variant, or the one first described in the UK right now, and it's really causing a lot of infections, primarily in unvaccinated individuals. There's some data out of Scotland that maybe more people land in hospital, but that was a smaller study, and we need some additional data. I think the key issue with the variants, Brian, and we've talked about this before, the Alpha variant, if you were previously infected with earlier versions of the virus, you were protected from the Alpha variant, and that's the dominant variant right now in this country, the one first described in the UK. What I'm concerned about is the variants first described from South Africa, which is fortunately at very low levels here in the United States, and the one first described in Brazil, which they're now calling it the Gamma, that natural immunity from early versions of the virus doesn't look like it's going to get it done. And it's unclear right now for the Delta variant whether prior immunity is be protective or not. So those are the ones we need to keep an eye on, because if they increase in proportions in this country, those previously infected but unvaccinated, which is a minority but a significant minority of individuals in this country, may be at risk for getting reinfected again and potentially get infected and have serious illness. And so that's what I'm watching right now. And I think the final word is not out yet on this Delta variant, but unfortunately is with those previous versions.
All right, something to watch. Dr. Russo, what's your reaction on hearing that it will be a full stadium for Bills games with no restrictions? Are you satisfied with that, with outdoor venues?
Well, outdoor venues are certainly going to be a lot safer, and I think the risk is going to be low. However, if you're unvaccinated or if you're fully vaccinated and have certain immunocompromised states, I think that being cautious would be appropriate because with the crowded conditions together in a prolonged period of time, and if it's a windy day, that'll force some protection. If it's not, it'll be a little riskier. Then mask use by those individuals may be appropriate to protect themselves.
All right. We'll see what happens. No announcement from the Bills yet, but it is interesting that that will be allowed. Dr. Russo, thanks so much as always. Dr. Tom Russo, Chief of Infectious Disease at the Jacobs School of Medicine.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.